The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to hour two. It's the hour traditionally that we like to air after hour one. Call us crazy, call us quirky, but it's just what we do on the Eric Metaxas Show. We air hour two right after hour one consecutively. And today in hour two, we have our friend, it's been a while, Kevin McCullough. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, Eric. It's a pleasure to be with you always.
We always, we normally introduce you as the great Votstradamus, because you have keen abilities at seeing the future electorally, politically. You are a pundit. You write at townhall.com. You've got your various radio shows. So today, I know we're talking about current events, but what do you want to talk about specifically? The article that you wrote. How often do you write at Town Hall? Because I think you write there pretty often.
Yeah, I publish every Sunday. So if you're enjoying your cup of coffee, you know, before you're off to church, you can log into Town Hall and have 800 words with me, and hopefully that'll put you in a better frame of mind.
But the only problem with places like Town Hall and Fox News, all these conservative places tend to skew older, and I'm really tired of looking at pictures of toenail fungus. it's enough to make you a liberal. When I went to read your article townhall.com under Kevin McCullough,
that we love because they're part of the Salem family.
Well, of course I love them. I make fun of the things that I love. They've got a big picture with a title that says toenail clippers for seniors.
Nice.
And I thought, that's just, you know, when I'm having coffee, that's just the kind of thing that I want to be thinking about. So thank you, townhall.com. Okay. So you wrote an article. Now, this is a very serious issue we're going to talk about here. So let's get into it. What do you say?
Well, last Tuesday, in fact, there was an event held on the White House grounds. And for the last number of weeks, Biden's poll numbers have been tanking. And I don't mean by a small amount. They are historically low. They are worse than any president of the modern era. They've got, you know, they're looking up to see Jimmy Carter's numbers. So we're talking about.
But to be fair, why would we expect anything different? In other words, I think an objective viewer, an objective American looks at the situation and says, objectively, without any question, this is the worst president we have ever had. He makes Jimmy Carter look like Reagan and George Washington combined. I mean, I'm not just saying that because ideologically I think he's insane, but I think that objectively, everything they touch turns to poop. I mean, everything this administration does is not just a failing, but a disaster. So your average American, you know, they don't have a dog in the fight. They're just looking around. They're looking at gas prices. We really shouldn't be surprised when we see his poll numbers lows.
I'm not, but I think it is. I think it's good to point out that there have been some editorial shifts in what we would consider the mainstream press, the press that I don't trust very much. The New York Times and Washington Post have both been repeatedly negative on Biden policy in the last 3 or 4 weeks in ways that they had not approached in the previous 2 years to that. So you're talking about so what in essence I think is happening here, Eric, is that the wagons are starting to circle and they're about to have themselves a shootout. But the question is, what do they do about it? Just some other stuff that's significant. 64% of Democrats want a different option in 2024. And so this reporter on the grounds of the White House on Tuesday calls out to the president and says, hey, Mr. President, what's your response to the poll that shows that 64% of Democrats don't want you to be the nominee in 2024? And if you've ever been around somebody that has dementia or Alzheimer's, you know that quick trigger temper is part of the, you know, the problem of that disease and kind of how it's formulated. When he's asked this, he kind of looks over his shoulder, gets his eye at the reporter, and then charges him like a bull and gets right up in his face and says, read that poll again, Jack. Another, and he stutters real bad. Another part of the poll says 92% said that they would vote for me. Well, they're both right. There was a question on the poll that said, if it was Biden versus Trump as a Democrat, who would you vote for? And 92% said they would vote for Biden, but they were only given the two options. The purpose of what the reporter was asking about was, look, 2/3 of your own support that you're going to have to shore up in the primary don't want you. How do you respond to that? And he didn't have the wherewithal, the capacity, the mental framework to even respond in a polite way. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, Eric. Another poll last week showed that 81% of Hispanics disapprove of his performance. Now, the Democratic Party has for a long time kind of camped out and banked on taking several demographic groups for granted. African-Americans foremost, but Hispanics a close second behind them. If you're only getting 19% approval ratings in the Hispanic culture, and I think they've way overplayed this, I think Hispanics are far more pro-legal immigration than anything that the Democratic Party has assessed they would be. And I think they are just as hacked off about what's going on at the border as all the other ethnic groups in America. Many of them saying, look, I was Cuban and I had to get here the hard way and the right way and the legal way. And I did it. It took forever for me to get here and a lot of money to get here. How come these people just get to come across the southern border? So I think the administration, it's starting to cannibalize its own strategy. So you've got 64% that want him out. You've got 8 out of 10 Hispanics that don't want him. And then the area that Barack Obama kind of seized upon in his two elections that I don't know if it was replicated in Biden's win or not, but the vote under 30 that would consider itself Democrat, 99% don't want him as an option. They don't want him as the candidate. So what does this all really mean? Well, I don't think most conservatives, you and I included, don't really think that he got 85 million legitimate votes in 2020. For the record, I don't think Barack Obama thinks that either. And I think that it's probably, you know, eaten away at Barack's soul when he only got 67 and 64 million respectively in his two elections to say that Joe Biden was the all time biggest vote getting Democrat president in history. I'm sure it just drives him nuts. But there are other groups that are not pleased with him either. Moderates are looking at the gas prices. You mentioned that. Blue collar Democrats, you know, the working class people in West Virginia and the coal mines of the East Coast and you know, people that work in factories and that have for a long time said, you know, I want America to provide jobs at things that we do well, but they still vote Democrat for union purposes and other things. These people are not down at all with his let's let boys shower in the girls' locker room stuff, the gender identity thing in elementary school. None of them are pleased with that. And then you've got liberals that may be okay with that, but live in the big cities and they're getting beaten to death and stabbed all the time. So there is no group that's happy with him. And even progressives that would say, you know, he's advanced our cause, they don't think he's gone far enough. So where does this guy go to find an elective populace that can give him the win in 2024? He can't. This is my point of the column. I don't trust the Democrats at this point to do something rational, legal, or even sane. And to say that they're just going to run him again is probably not true either. So I am very concerned, and I want people to be aware and paying attention that if there is an attempt to do something goofy, like the 25th Amendment, or come up with some reason to find to kick Joe out and install Kamala, who's even worse than him in a lot of the public polling, I don't trust the system. I don't trust the Democratic Party, and I don't trust in general politics to do this in an honorable way and an integral way. But you're not going to have Joe Biden standing for a second term. And I think people need to pay attention. Listen, need to speak up.
I don't even think he's going to survive this term. That's where I am.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think there's any chance he is going to be he's going to be president, you know, a year from now. Now, by the way, I didn't tell you, but I told my audience I have a horrible summer cold, but it sounds nice because it's a summer cold, but it is just the worst sore throat. And I can't even think straight. So if I sound loopy, it's because I'm loopy. I'm drugged up. But it's a summer cold. It's like summer wine. It's extra special. We'll be right back. Summer wine. Oh, summer wine.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. Hey, folks, welcome back. Talking to Votestradamus. You remember Votestradamus? The 15th century French mystic, actually that's Nostradamus, but Votestradamus is his present day incarnation in our friend Kevin McCullough, prognosticator on the future. You don't write everything though in medieval French quatrains, for which we are grateful. Yes. Thank you. We can read your stuff at townhall.com. Now look, we're talking about some crazy stuff. It seems obvious. And again, your average American is busy. They're raising their kids. They're caring for their parents. They're caring for their kids. They're trying to get to work. They're trying to, they don't have time to get into this. So they look around, they see disaster everywhere. Biden and his administration really couldn't be worse. I mean, I think that's an objective take. This is not just because, you know, I know he stole the election and is allowing socialists to destroy America. Apart from that, it's just bad. Everybody says it's bad. You just gave us the numbers. So what are some of the scenarios? I mean, first of all, he's been vaccinated 40,000 times and he has COVID right now, right?
And evidently cancer and asthma. And he can't confirm it, but I think he's probably got monkeypox too. The interesting thing about this, though, was that it was the oil that was sprayed on his mom's car when she was driving him to school as a kid that gave him the cancer that he had when he was 70. But his team says he doesn't have cancer. So even in just simple messaging, delivering a basic speech, this guy has problems up and down. But they're wrestling with other things, Eric. And you touched on it. Middle America doesn't pay attention to the day to day. They're not watching the jot and tittles and going, oh, they did this move and now we got to make this move. They do know that they're paying $4.50 to $5 a gallon for gas. And they do know that 2 years ago, that same gallon was $1.89. And they know that the gallon of milk that, you know, used to cost $5 in the store now costs them $7 to $11, depending on what they're getting. And they just know that in general, everything has gone up in price and what they're bringing home in pay has gone down in value. That may be why the Republicans have seen, since the 2020 election, 1 million registered Democrats register as Republicans, a pretty big number when you consider the overall miss in the general election was not even near that much. And you're talking about states that have changed a lot of things. You know, voter integrity in some of the states that went bad has become a major non-presidential election year issue. Wisconsin Supreme Court said all of the overreach that their attorney general and the governor did in that state was illegal. So done with that. In Georgia, the Zuckerberg boxes are out. No more. Can't have those. Can't have 50,000 collection boxes, you know, in a 5 mile square radius where, you know, you can just have these mules drop this stuff off all the time. Arizona is fighting the fight of its life to get their ballot system cleaned up. And in Pennsylvania, you might have Assemblyman Mastriano become the next governor. And if he does, because he led all of the voter integrity issues in that state, you're going to see some major reforms. They can't win if they don't get to pull off something that they replicated in 2020, as our good friend Dinesh D'Souza pointed out very nicely in his 2000 Mules film. So you're running up against massive party relocation from Democrat to Republican. You're running into real vote integrity, voter reform, and you're dealing with just a horrific record. I still don't trust the people that are in charge to do things right. So what I would encourage people to do, and we need to, the Congress, if we take back the Congress in 2020, they need to be involved in this in a heavy way. If Biden needs to resign or retire and Kamala becomes president, pay close attention to who she installs as the vice president that the Senate would be asked to confirm, because this is going to be where it gets really, I think, sticky for even her, because nobody wants her. Nobody wants Biden. But who are they going to say has to be her vice president if they elevate her to the office of president? I think that becomes the real question.
I have some theories.
Gavin Newsom.
I think Elizabeth Warren, people that I know in Washington, like my sources in D.C., and I really mean this, have said Elizabeth Warren's staff has been running a lot that's going on in this administration, which doesn't surprise me. I think that anything's possible, but we know that it's a mess. We know that it's a mess. Now, Gavin Newsom, I don't think he's likable. Like, I think most Americans dislike him, even if you're not, even if you don't disapprove of him ideologically. But, you know, people have floated Michelle Obama. Now, can we forget about Hillary Clinton? Do we think that she's on this planet to do anything except try to be president? Do we think she's not going to try to get in there?
There was a story out last week that said she's considering another run. So, yeah, it's a fair question.
Why wouldn't she? Kevin, are you kidding? Like, she's
in horrible health. I don't know why she would want to continue to put herself out there.
I haven't heard that. What do you mean she's in horrible health?
Well, you saw the health problems she had when she ran the last time. And, you know, there were days when she couldn't even walk. They had to carry her to the van sitting outside the 9/11 memorial that day that she came to pay her, respects. I mean, and she's only gotten older, and I tend to see with my eyes maybe a little bit heavier in weight and girth. And when you're at that age, she just doesn't look like a physically healthy person. And whether it's Trump or not Trump that's running for the Republicans in 2024, let's say it's not Trump. First of all, Trump has the energy of a bull in his teenage years. Like, it's amazing how much energy that guy has. But let's say he's not the candidate. Let's say it's a Ron DeSantis. Well, you've got, you know, 40 years advantage on whoever you're running against, and he's a young, strong guy. They have a real problem with who their candidate becomes, from not only how they look in opposition to the person, but the ideas that they're going to float. Because even though Trump has been out of office for almost 3 years, the guiding principles of America First have transformed the Republican Party and by and large have resonated with the independents in ways that no other post-presidency has. They know that Joe Biden is putting America at the back of the line and they want their jobs protected. They want the commerce of the United States to go forward unimpeded by federal government regulations. There's all kinds of things that independents are going, well, wait a minute. We don't like any of this stuff.
I think it really is crazy when you try to figure out who they're going to put in. But I guess the only question is, how's this going to go down? Biden, I do not see him finishing his term. How that happens. Look, he's old. He could have a stroke. Anything could happen because he's not, you don't get the impression that he's, you know, fit as a fiddle. You really do get the impression that he's fragile. Anything can happen. What happens after that? I don't know. Who do you suppose Kamala Harris would put it in as vice president?
I think that is that's the million dollar question, because I think that's the person that the Democrats are still fighting a war within themselves. So you still have the old guard, the Jerry Nadlers and the Nancy Pelosi's and those guys fighting against the squad and AOC and Bernie Sanders. And Bernie and AOC seem to believe that they are the future of the party, and they've gotten a lot more favors from the president than the old guard has. But I'm not sure that Pelosi is ready to give up, you know, being king of the hill.
I wonder what Elizabeth Warren thinks of Hillary Clinton.
Well, Warren is much more in the Bernie Sanders AOC camp than she is, you know, in the more traditional old guard. I mean, she's been running around Massachusetts for the last 3 weeks threatening to shut down all the crisis pregnancy centers because supposedly they torture women. This is the language she uses when she's talking to the press.
Actually,
about
I was going to say I put out a tweet on this. There's really nothing more evil than when she said that. When she said that,
that was demonic.
This is a lie. First of all, we should not have patience with lies. When people lie, we need to call them on it. And I don't care if it's one of our team or what. Lying is unacceptable. So hyperbole, exaggeration. I understand how people, when they're communicating, they may twist things a little bit, but lying. Really lying. That's what she did. Crisis pregnancy centers, so-called, these are there to help women, period, case closed.
Well, and it was obvious in her comments that she's never spoken, or at least never admitted to speaking to anyone that's been helped by them or that has volunteered at them in any kind of honest conversation. Because I could line up for you, and you, I know you could as well, dozens upon dozens of people that even if they didn't take advantage of what the crisis pregnancy center offered, even if they went out and still got an abortion,
yeah,
they would come back and say, but I was treated with love and compassion at the crisis pregnancy center.
There's no doubt about it. And what, you know, what they'll try to do is they will find the one or two cases where that didn't happen and they'll act as though that's normal. I want to tell you, overwhelmingly, crisis pregnancy centers are there to help women and they respect women. And it is just unconscionable that Elizabeth Warren would lie in that way. Yep. It is just so wicked. I want to be very clear, folks. Anyway, when we come back more with Kevin McCullough, remember, I have a summer cold. It's like summer wine, except it's a cold. We'll be right back. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale. For example, the queen size, regularly priced at $89.98, is now only $39.98 with our listener promo code Eric. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale sheets are breathable. They've got a cool, crisp feel. They They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-978-3057, 1-800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC or just go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square. Use the promo code ERIC. The offer will not last very long because these Percale sheets are known to sell very quickly. Order now with promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. That's MyPillow.com. Promo code ERIC. Folks, welcome back. Talking to our friend Kevin McCullough. Kevin, Lee Zeldin is running for governor. He's a GOP candidate running for governor in New York. Boy, oh boy, do I hope he succeeds. I wanted Andrew Giuliani, but Lee Zeldin is a really good guy. You've interviewed him recently, yeah. And he was the object of a physical attack. Someone tried to kill him recently, and the news media essentially sweeps it under the rug. What world are we living in?
Well, I would say that in New York State, it got a fair amount of coverage, but it certainly didn't resonate the way it would have if it had been, a liberal governor running for the same post in another area. The interesting thing about this, and I like Andrew Giuliani a lot, and I had he and Zeldin both on my show in the run up to the primary. I love the congressman for a lot of reasons. One very big, simple one is that he is just one of the most integrity-filled public servants I've ever met. Did you know he still serves in the National Guard and still drills with his reserve units while serving all these years in Congress? And just to meet him, he's humble. He's one of the nicest guys you can ever spend time with. And he's very focused like a laser beam on how to fix things. I think when, you've been in Iraq and Afghanistan and you've seen the worst side of things and you give your life now in this kind of capacity, you're really trying to make the world a better place. So his main campaign issue has been the cashless bail in New York State and the problems that has created in making New York no longer the safest big city on planet Earth, making New York State a very dangerous place. And how ironic. He's speaking at this campaign rally on Thursday last week, gets to the part where he's talking about how the cashless bail reform has to be repealed and we've got to do something different with that. And this guy gets on stage with a double bladed device aiming at his neck, trying to take him down. And he's let out on bail 6 hours later. He's back out on the street 6 hours later.
Kevin, there are certain things I simply don't understand. It doesn't seem possible that when you attempt to murder someone, that they would let you out on the street. In other words, it seems like the whole idea of bail is designed more than anything for those kinds of cases, that this guy the world has to be protected from this murderous thug.
Yeah.
How is it possible that happened? I mean, I really don't get it.
Well, the legal explanation is that Governor Cuomo put a law into place 2 years ago that allowed it. And you've got prosecutors like Alvin Bragg in Manhattan and in other places, big cities, a lot of George Soros backed district attorneys that have been elected that have said, we're not going to enforce certain crimes. And so what they did is instead of charging him with an attempted murder, is they knocked the charge down to assault. Well, he was out for a couple of days. Finally, the feds came in on Sunday and said, you know what? You attacked a member of Congress. This is now a federal assault charge. And now he is in prison. But it required the feds, and only because Congressman Zeldin is a member of Congress, was he granted that kind of extra grace. If it was you and me, Eric, out there making the campaign stump speech, the guy would have been free to come after us the next day. It took, kind of the safety net of the federal government to do justice in this point. And this is the biggest issue across all of the New York and I would say largely leftist states that they're dealing with right now. In California, you've got very similar situations in LA and San Francisco. But the problem is when you have an entire Democratic Party, one party system running a city, running a state, and they've taken the position that we're going to be soft on crime. We're going to do all kinds of other things instead of spending the money on supplying our police departments with what they need and getting the number of people on the street that we need to patrol, you're going to end up with this type of thing. And then you add on to that the fact that you've got a DA who on day one, when he got elected in 2021, said, you know what, we're just not going to enforce these laws. And here's a whole list of them that we're not going to enforce. That's not the will of the people. The will of the people said, we want to send someone to that office to make sure that they do enforce those laws. That's the description of that job. And if you can't do that job, and Lee Zeldin has said, since Alvin Bragg refuses to do it and the governor has the right to do it, he's going to fire him on day one.
I just, this reminds me of, you know, in the 60s, in the 70s, this kind of crazy stuff was going on out there. It was, you know, you'd hear this about how liberals are pro-criminal. They don't care about, you know, the taxpayers, the citizens. You'd hear that kind of stuff, the bleeding heart liberals and the madness of it. But over the decades, it just seems to me that common sense had to overtake some of this. But what we're seeing in the last few years is rolling back all of that common sense. The idea that what amazes me, Kevin, is that people like former Governor Cuomo and others would not be scared for themselves,
right,
that somebody would be murdered as a result of what they did. They don't seem to care. I just don't quite understand how they can inure themselves to the reality of it. I mean, you and I have never tried to kill anyone. You try to imagine put yourself in the mind of somebody who made plans and who had a weapon to kill someone. You think of that kind of person. Nobody in the world would think that it would be safe to put that guy back out on the street. And yet you have Democrats and their appointed prosecutors and DAs, and they don't seem to care. It's completely bizarre. And it's why I think that in a fair fight, the Democrats are done. Their day is over. And that in the election coming up, they're going to be in big trouble, more than big trouble. We'll be right back talking to Kevin McCullough. Okay, we got to leap right in. So we've got 7.5 minutes. I'm just going to just tee you up to keep going, or what
yeah,
we
that's
talk
fine.
About? Welcome back. Final segment with our friend Kevin McCullough. You may know him as Vote Stradamus, but we will always think of him as Vote Stradamus. Kevin, you can be found at townhall.com. And where else if people want to follow
you? Well, if you want to follow me on social, my best social is Instagram at KMC Radio. And I've got a link in the bio there that'll take you to everything else that I do. So just go to
KMC Radio
on Instagram.
That's Kevin McCullough.
Yeah.
Kevin McCullough Radio, KMC Radio. You really do have your nose in the weeds on everything that's going on. You're a political person. You understand these things. What is your sense of what is going to happen in the next few months? I mean, it does seem that the Biden administration has done such a bad job that anyone with a modicum of common sense is going to vote Republican. They just have to.
I think it's very tempting to feel that way. That was kind of the point of my column this week, is we shouldn't think that just because all of the indicators seem to point in the right direction that Republicans are going to have it easy, because I just think that with the cheating that occurred in 2020, you just can't take anything for granted. But having said that, I do think there are some interesting signs that kind of tie together everything we've been talking about here. So we talked about the lawlessness of the Democrats' side and kind of how they back the lawless side of society, and how that has really contributed to the detriment of the citizens. And then adding on top of that, all of the policy things that the administration has done, you see this general disgust with what's going on. But let me narrow in on even one more, just to give your viewers and listeners a little bit more of an understanding. A week ago, and I wrote about this last Sunday, so not this previous Sunday, but the one before that, that week leading up to that Sunday, the Biden administration filed a lawsuit against the state of Arizona. And this is what they took the state of Arizona to court for. Arizona had just passed and the governor had signed a law that would prevent anyone from being able to vote in any Arizona election, local, state, or national, that was not an American citizen. And so there was going to be a requirement that you had some proof to show you were an American citizen in order to be able to vote. Pretty common sense. About 25 of our states already have such laws on the books. But the Biden administration decided that they didn't want that to go forward. And so they have now sued Arizona to try to fight to overturn that law. Now, I don't know what their argument's going to be in court, and I don't know how they're going to make it. But I just want people to understand, this is a clear-cut example of an administration who is siding with specifically non-Americans, people that are not citizens, that should be eliminated from the voting process. They don't want to have them identified. They don't want to have them partitioned out from the voter base. And thinking of how it was done in 2020 with the massive mail-in ballots and sending ballots to everybody, you know, Dinesh D'Souza's movie, 2000 Mules, those mules can't operate if they don't have an abundance of ballots that are just hanging out there somewhere. You've got to produce the ballots, and you need names and addresses to do all that. Yeah, you've got to have the check of the signatures, and you've got to have verification of identity and all that kind of stuff. But if you never mail out all those ballots to begin with, the likelihood of having to count a lot of fraudulent ballots goes down. And Dinesh made a great point of that in the film. But in Arizona, they're specifically taking a step in the state legislature to try to eliminate the opportunity for people that shouldn't be voting to vote. Now, this is how crazy this is. People look at that and they go, this is stupid. Why would that be the case? But yet here in New York City, where you and I are at, Eric, just last year, they did the same thing. They tried to put forward the idea for non-citizens to be allowed to vote in state and local elections. Well, thankfully, the state courts of New York and the federal courts all said that's not constitutional. You can't do that. And yet, in spite of that precedent, in spite of the common sense that it would be to protect American interests, the Biden administration is suing the state of Arizona to allow non-citizens to vote and not be caught. What more do we need to have in terms of evidence?
It's called cheating. Ladies
and
gentlemen,
it's called treason. It's called betrayal to one's oath of office.
Yeah, of course. But it's astonishing the brazenness of the left in America. It is breathtaking. And I have to say that just because I'm familiar with how the Nazis operated, there was breathtaking speed and brazenness in doing what they did. It's kind of like just swamp the other side. Keep going. Don't let them ever react. Just keep going. That's kind of where we are right now. The level of lies, the doubling down on lies, it's absolutely amazing. And the question, of course, is will your average American do what he can to fight this? Or are we going to let this happen? Are we going to lose the country? But this is the recipe for losing America. And if you care about people, you need to care about America, folks. This is the greatest country in the world, the freest, least racist, most opportunity friendly country, compassionate in the world. And if you care about people, you have to care about this country. And so that's the question: is are people so distracted that they don't care, or do they see these things and say, my goodness, I need to get involved. I need to save my country.
So this is my earnest plea, Eric, to every one of your listeners and viewers. And I tell this to my people as well. Whatever you think about politics, whatever you think about public policy, whatever you think about things that have gone on in the past, drop all of that. Act like this November, it is do or die for the welfare of your country. Because if you do not help the different people take office than that are there now, you vote for the same people, you're going to get the same stuff. You want different results, you have to send different people there. Wherever you're at, plug in, know the issues, know the candidates, and then vote your conscience. But you have to put energy into it. You can't just sit back and say, well, God will take care of it. It just doesn't work that way.
And there's so many candidates out there. There's Vicky Hartzler in Missouri. There is our friend Doug Mastriano running for the governorship of Pennsylvania. Yeah. There's Carrie Lake running in Arizona.
There's
Lauren
Boebert.
And there's all kinds of candidates who are on the same page, I think, as common sense Americans who understand things are very bad and we need to get radical. So, yeah, it is important that people get involved. Kevin, it's always a joy to have you on. We want you back here anytime you've got something to say. Don't hesitate to reach out to us. And folks, thanks for listening. Please don't forget, go to ericmetaxas.com. Sign up for my newsletter. A lot of stuff coming out in the next few weeks. Kevin, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Albin.
Hey, Eric.
I wanted to end the day on a miraculous note, or maybe at least a potentially miraculous note. When I write about miracles in my book, Miracles, and in other places, I keep the bar very high, because sometimes people say something's a miracle when it's either coincidence or it's just a blessing, or it might be a miracle. And this kind of falls into that category, but it's just sort of cute. So I said, I want to read this to the audience, because people write us letters. We read all the letters, by the way. In fact, we got a couple recently. I don't know. Are we going to read them? But some people write letters and they're angry.
Yeah.
And we don't have time to respond to all these letters. But the other day, somebody wrote a letter about the book by Jeannie Constantino.
Yeah.
Kind of an angry letter that, did I know she was a heretic? Because she, like all Orthodox Christians, doesn't subscribe to the classic idea of atonement, replacement, whatever it is that, you know. And I just thought, ladies and gentlemen, we've got bigger fish to fry. It's not like these things are not important, but I'm not going to have a guest on because I disagree with them on substitutionary atonement. I just find it crazy. Somebody else was complaining that Jordan Peterson, who I said we'd have on this program, that Jordan Peterson is pro-gay marriage or something like that. And I just thought, look, I have people on this program all the time with whom I disagree about all kinds of subjects. Yeah. But there are people, usually a particular kind of religious person, who will not brook any dissent. And I have to say, this is not that kind of show. This is the show about everything.
No,
though I have strong opinions, it doesn't mean every single guest I have on is going to agree with me on all these things.
And the only way I got this job was that I agree with you 100% on everything, Mr.
And everything. And you signed a paper to that effect.
I did.
And that's it. But you're the only one willing to sign that paper. See? But everybody else has disagreements with me. So I want to be very clear. But people do write in.
Yeah.
And some people are just kind of nasty, I have to say, the way they write. They write nasty. And so I'm not inclined to respond to nasty letters. But some people are so sweet, and we get so many different. We read all the letters. I just want to be clear. Now, here's a letter. I thought this is the miracles thing, which is kind of sweet. Carol, a woman named Carol, writes, I needed a book to discuss with a monthly book club. And evidently it's not a Christian book club, just a standard book club. She says, I found your book Miracles hardcover in perfect shape at a secondhand store. When I took it home, I found that inside the cover, it said, to Carol, God bless you, Eric Metaxas. Since I am named Carol, I felt led to use the book for this month's discussion. May God speak through this challenging book. Thank you, Carol. I just thought that is just so cute that the woman finds a book about miracles, and it's at a secondhand store signed by me. To Carol, God bless you, Eric Metaxas. Obviously, there's some other woman named Carol who read the book and then decided, you know what, I'll give it to the secondhand store. But it is kind of cute because this woman, also named Carol, kind of saw this as a small miracle, or at least as enough justification to use the book in her little reading group. And I got to tell you, when somebody says to me, we're using your book in our reading group, or I am so thrilled to hear that. I write everything I write to be read. And it thrills me when people are reading it wherever they get it, at a secondhand store, full price, I don't care, at a library. It just blesses me. So I want to thank you, Carol, for writing to us and giving us that happy perhaps miraculous news. Folks, don't forget, this month only, Nutramedics.com, 30% off if you use the code Eric. Please don't forget, it's only this month, a couple days left, Nutramedics.com, 30% off if you use the code Eric. And also don't forget, MyStore.com. They have coffee, MyStore.com. I think you need to check it out. Thanks for listening.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.